Now turn with me for a reading of God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning our reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." The last time we had looked together at our little series, What is This Thing Called the Church?, we had begun to look at the ordinances of the church. There is a great emphasis, of course, today placed upon so many other aspects of church life. It's just my opinion, but I'll give it, that so often and too often we spend far too much time discussing certain aspects of church life which in the light of eternity don't even matter. They don't even matter. But when it comes to the things that do matter, we often stand back from them and we don't give them the attention that they deserve. And certainly today, the areas that often are neglected in the life of the local church are the two ordinances that I mentioned to you that the Scriptures clearly teach. Those of believers' baptism and that of the Lord's Supper. When we think about believers' baptism and our obedience to Jesus Christ, remember that this is not a doctrine that is exclusive to any local church. It's clearly a New Testament doctrine that it needs to be preached and it needs to be practiced in the life of every local church. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He is all authority. He has commanded it. And we must address the issue personally, biblically, and very reverently. We thought about the proof of baptism, discovered it was taught by the Savior who himself was baptized. It was preached in sermons because in gospel preaching in the New Testament, they tied up repentance with believers' baptism, and baptism was a spontaneous reaction on the part of those who had come to know Christ as their Savior. It was practiced by saved sinners. We need to be careful we don't put the cart before the horse. It's not adults nor children, but believers who are to be baptized. We thought about the practice of baptism because it was carried out by immersion, speaking of a death, burial, and resurrection. Going into the water speaks of death. Going under the water speaks of burial. Coming up out of the water speaks of resurrection. And when you and I respond to the command of Christ and follow him through the waters of baptism, which I hope that some of you will give very careful attention to for the next stage of your Christian development, when we do it, it shows our obedience to Christ. It signifies our identification with Christ. It strengthens our faith in Christ, and it solemnizes our allegiance to Christ. It means our faith is meaningful. Christ is special. Discipleship is real, and living for Jesus Christ is something that's really worth living for. But today we move on to the second of the two ordinances, which is the Lord's Supper. Sometimes believers refer to this as the Lord's table, and there are others who refer to it simply as the communion service. I don't have a difficulty with whatever title people use. They're entitled to their terminology. But one thing is absolutely sure, that when we come to consider this, we're dealing with something that is vitally important. Now, it's inevitable, that I might today tramp on some toes. I don't start out to do that. But some of us as believers in Jesus Christ need to give some serious thought to this ordinance. During the years I spent laboring with the Slavic Gospel Association, and then having gone round a number of churches during those years and having come back to pastoral ministry and visiting in other churches, there's one thing that greatly saddens me. It saddens me not because I'm a pastor. It saddens me because I'm a Christian. And that is the number of people who get up, who leave the meeting, and absent themselves from the Lord's table. Now, I know there may well be different reasons for that. I know there are family life involved with children. I know there are folks who go home because of duty. Sometimes in the midst of a funeral, people have to leave early, and that's understandable. I'm not thinking about those who come under all of those areas. I'm thinking of those of us who absent ourselves from this table constantly and continually, because it's something that we need to seriously consider. Let me remind you first of all of the institution of the Lord's Supper. You see, as with baptism, the Lord's Supper was instituted directly by the command of Christ, and not only did he command it, he gave us the example. Remember that on the night before he died, the Lord Jesus gathered with his disciples in order to eat the Passover meal. And this, of course, was an ancient meal celebrated to remember God's redemption of his people from their slavery in Egypt. Now, Jesus, at that remembrance feast, he not only looked back to that time of deliverance for God's people of old, he looked forward. And he looked forward to that day when those disciples gathered around him like us would not have to sit and remember him in this way, because there was a day coming when faith would give way to sight, and we would be one day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this today is only till he come. There's a day coming when we'll not have to think about the table spread, because we'll be forever in His wonderful presence. But in the meantime, Matthew in chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, Luke 22, all refer to this night and to the institution of the Lord's Supper. Then 1 Corinthians 11 that we've read today, the apostle refers to the occasion, and all of them give an important emphasis to the words of Christ. Now, it's only Luke and Paul who include the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." But there's no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ used them as a command for His people. On the night that He instituted the Lord's Supper, He knew that He would soon be leaving His disciples and He would go by way of the cross. He knew even if the disciples themselves hadn't grasped it, He would be raised from the dead. He would ascend back to heaven. He knew the time would come when He would no longer be visibly amongst them. And so in His absence, the Lord Jesus Christ taught them to remember Him. Did the early Christians do it? I believe they did. And they did it faithfully. In Acts chapter 2, on that great day of Pentecost, as we follow all the events of that day, we read this: they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now this breaking of bread for them in Acts chapter 2, it signified a communion meal. From the beginning of the church, it was a custom that they would meet together and they would eat together. They would go from house to house, and part of this communion was that they would share with those who were less privileged than themselves, and then it would come to a great climax with what was called the agape feast. Now you know, and I know, the word agape means love. So it was a love feast. They came together for fellowship. They came together for a community meal. They shared with those who had less than they had. And then it came to a crescendo with this agape feast. It was a very important part of worshiping the Lord. When you come to Acts chapter 20, you'll see that those Christians, it's recorded for us, they met on the first day of the week. And they met in the company of the Apostle Paul, and they did so primarily for the breaking of bread. In 1 Corinthians 11, where we've read today, Paul deals with the issue of disorder at the Lord's table. But it seems that in Corinth, despite its division, it seems at Corinth that the Lord's Supper was an established and an important part of their worship. So let's understand here, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted this. It's not just a doctrine of this church, that church, or any other church. Jesus Christ has said, "This do in remembrance of me." The institution of the Lord's Supper. But what I want to bring you to this morning is the importance of the Lord's Supper. Turn back to this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. Just keep your Bible open if you have a Bible with you on your knee. Because Paul speaks here about the order for the Lord's Supper. We know as Christians that it's important that we remember the Lord in this way. It's also important that we remember Him in the right way. It's vitally important that when we break the bread and we drink the wine, we're doing it for the right reason, and that this before us today never becomes just an act of duty. At Corinth, Paul was concerned they weren't doing it in the right way. And it seems that God had already judged the church because of their attitude and actions. Listen to these words, verse 30. "That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." Now I know folks fall asleep most of the time I preach, but that's not what he's talking about here. There's disorder at the Lord's table. They're dishonoring the Lord. And the Lord has not only judged them, the Lord has removed some of them from the church. And He hasn't just removed them from the body of the church and from the table, He has removed them from this scene of time altogether. because they were dishonoring the Lord. We need to think seriously and we need to think twice. When God says something to us from His Word by way of a command or something else, or if somebody with the authority to come and says, you be careful about this, be careful that your response isn't, you'll not tell me what to do, the Lord will not tell me what to do. The Lord has every right to tell you and me what to do. After all, He has bought us with His own precious blood. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. There were some in Corinth who had been removed, not just from the church and from the table. They'd been removed right out completely to the side of eternity, because they were dishonoring the Lord. I know the Lord's Supper reminds all of us of different things. For example, the little boy sitting one day with his mum at church. They always in their church remembered the Lord before they lifted the offering. And when the bread was being passed around, the little boy reached out and put his hand on the bread to take it, and his mum smacked him in the back of the hand and she said to him, "You're far too young to partake in the breaking of bread." Later on in the service, coming to the close, they passed round the plate for the collection. His mother leaned over and said to him, "Put your money on the plate." The little boy looked there. He said, "Mom, no way. If I can't eat, I'm not paying." You see, we all think about things in different ways. But when we come to this spread before us this morning, let's remind ourselves of what it's about. It reminds us to take a look back. Verse 23 to 26. Paul says, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In like manner, after they had supped, He took the cup in the same way, 'As oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" The bread which we partake of at the Lord's Supper is a reminder of the body of Christ that was given for us. The cup, a reminder of the precious blood that He shed on the cross. In other words, the Lord's Supper is instituted so that we who are the followers of Jesus Christ would never forget all that He has done for us at the place called Calvary. Little boy whose parents were killed in a car crash had no other members of a family circle, so he was placed in an orphanage. He was very upset. They found it very difficult to calm him down. So the matron went and got him a new set of clothes, and when he saw himself dressed in his new clothes in front of the mirror, he seemed much happier. He was offered a new hat, but he wouldn't take it because he didn't want to get rid of the old hat that he was wearing on his head. Finally, the matron persuaded him to try on a new hat to match the clothes. And when he did, he liked it. Just as she was taking away his old clothes and the old hat, he grabbed the hat. And he took it and he held it and he tore out the lining inside and he folded it nicely and he put it in his pocket, much to the amazement of the matron. And when she looked at him, surprised, he looked at her and he smiled and he said, "Ma'am, that lining is part of my mother's dress. That's all I have left to remember her." And he put his hand on it and held it tight and he says, "And I don't want to ever forget. I don't want to ever forget." We're all prone to forget many things. The older we get, the worse it seems to become. But Jesus Christ wants us to remember His death, and we dare not forget it. He wants us to remember, first of all, that He died on that old rugged cross. When they were come to the place called Calvary there, they crucified him. There he hangs, and he pours out his own soul unto death, sheds his own precious blood for sin that was not his own, and he wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember where he died, lest we forget Gethsemane and all that it means in Calvary. He wants us to remember why he died, that he died in place of sinners who couldn't redeem themselves. He wants us to remember how he died, shamefully, painfully, that it was sacrificial and substitutionary, and that it cost him his own life's blood. Can I ask you today, lovingly, but also because I have to, have you forgotten Calvary? Have you lost sight of all that the Savior has done for you? And is it just a matter of form to talk about being a Christian? And you've lost sight of the wonder of it all. We need to take a look back today and be able to say it was for me, yes, all for me. We need to take a look ahead. Verse 26 says, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. These are just symbols. They're just a reminder until that day he comes again. Sometimes we sing the words, till he come, oh let the words linger on the trembling chords. Let the little while between in their golden light be seen. Let us think how heaven and home lie beyond that, till he come. I don't want to get into the area of eschatology today and what you might believe about the Lord's return, but I'll tell you this, we seem to have lost sight of the fact he's coming. And one of these days, this table will not be spread, and it won't be needed, because we'll not be here. This is the blessed hope of every believer in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah for that. Coming to take us home to a place far different than this, and into a situation far removed from this. And instead of the symbols, it'll be the Savior, and that for the whole of eternity. The Apostle John puts it like this in 1 John 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What a blessed hope. Ever thought of that day when your faith will give way to sight? And on that day when you and I caught up to make our way home to heaven, don't forget the day you trusted Christ. That's what you set your heart on. But sometimes you will lose sight of that. And we not only take him for granted, we forget that we're not here to stay. It's only till he come. We ought to take a look back and take a look ahead. We need to take a look within. Verse 27 and 28, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 31 and 32, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What's Paul saying? He's saying that when we come to remember the Lord, we partake in a worthy manner. We should examine our own hearts and lives and make sure that we're living lives that are worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do you know something? Some of us can be so preoccupied with assessing the lives of others, we never see ourselves as we really are. And I have learned this. Some of the people that we condemn are in better shape spiritually than we are. And you think about that. Some of the people that we condemn and pass judgment on are in better shape spiritually than we are. And that's why it's best to take a look within. Oh, I know we need to keep a balance here. Sometimes it's necessary for the oversight of the church to remove some from the table if things are not right and haven't been dealt with. Not a nice thing to do, but sometimes it has to be done. But the important thing is that we examine our own hearts and be honest with God and with ourselves. We need to examine our own selves to judge our own sins. We need to confess those sins and deal with them clinically before we come to remember the Lord. Because if we don't do that and we come in an unworthy manner, then God will judge us and He'll chasten us until we confess our sins and we leave them. And if we don't leave them, God may have to do with some of us as He did with some of those in Corinth and take us away from that sin altogether. He might just take us from this scene of time. We ought to take a look back. We ought to take a look ahead. This is just till He comes. We ought to take a look within so that we're eating and drinking worthily. And the fourth thing is simply this in closing. We ought to take a look around. Verse 33 and 34 says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Now, the context of this is the Agape feast. And some at Corinth were coming together to meet together for this Agape feast, and they were starting to eat before others arrived. Some of them were drunk by the time others came. And Paul says all of this is dishonoring the Lord. Because if there's one thing that the Lord's table should be, it's a place where the family of God meet in unity and in harmony. And at Corinth that wasn't happening. There was division, disunity, and Paul warns them most severely. Do you know what Paul was saying to them? We need to listen to this very carefully. It is impossible for a believer to get close to Christ at the table if he's not getting close to Christ with others who are coming to the table with him. Is that clear enough? It's impossible for someone to get close to the Lord at the table if he's not close to those that he's coming to the table with. In other words, if you and I come to this table spread before us today with a hypocritical spirit, with a heart that's carrying grudge, with an absolute hatred for any brother or sister in Christ in this church, if we come to this table today with a heart that has no love for those that sit with us and serve with us and rule over us, are engaged in this family with us, then it'd be far better to go home. And before you come back, go and see them and sort it out. And do that before God has to come in and sort it out, so that he doesn't have to do what happened at Corinth. You say to me, Pastor, that's very strong. I'm not trying to be very strong. I'm trying to be very serious. And I'm just trying to apply the Word of God as it's found before us this morning. We all have to deal with problems. We all have to deal with grudges. We all have to deal with bitter spirits. We all have to deal with chips on our shoulders. But if we have to deal with them before we bring our offering to the table. Go and put it right. Go and put it right. You say to me, Pastor, it's been far too long now. It's gone on for years. So for years you've been remembering the Lord when you cannot shake hands with someone in the fellowship. Can't have fellowship with somebody in the family of God who sits with you every Sunday, irrespective of appearances or anything else that causes us to be stirred. This is a matter of the heart. And we need to make sure that we're not drinking unworthily when we come to remember the Lord. Pastor, that's such a challenge. It is. You think I haven't looked within and around and at the floor before I got off my knees before I brought it to you? But that's how it is when you and I come to remember the Lord. When you take a look back this morning, and maybe have to say, Lord, I haven't remembered you since the first day I was saved. Ask yourself the question today, why not? Because one day he's going to ask you in the light of Calvary love. Take a look up. You'll soon be in the glory and you'll not need this anymore. The symbols will be gone. You'll be with the Savior. Take a look within. There's sin this morning that needs to be confessed. Deal with it before you come to remember him. And take a look around. If there's others in the fellowship today, you can't look in the face and say that you love them. You can't take them by the hand and say, I'm sorry. You can't live above the petty things that so often cause disunity. You can deal with all of that. You need to try to. Because the Lord will one day deal with it for us. It's better that we judge ourselves than have the Lord judge us. Two ordinances, vitally important. Believer's baptism. Would to God some of these weeks that tank would be open. And you'll say to me, Pastor, I want the world to know I belong to Jesus. And around this table, there'd be unity that was never experienced before. Because until it overflows here, it will never overflow out there. And people will never respond in any type or form to hypocrisy. Shall we bow together in prayer for a moment? And just as we do that, just open our hearts to the Lord this morning afresh. Maybe just to say, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." Maybe just to say, "Father, you've forgiven me. Now give me the grace to forgive him or her or that family. Father, you've dealt bountifully with me. I'm part of a great family. There's no people like the family of God. Help me, Lord, see that brother or sister and embrace him for the first time in years and just say, I really am sorry. Forgive me." Father, your word has cut deep this morning into all our hearts. We accept that, and we pray for grace to put your word into practice in our fellowship with others and with you. We love the Savior. We confess often we've let him down, and often let him down because of our attitudes and actions to others in the family of God. Would you forgive us today? And would you give us the grace to put these things right, that the windows of heaven might open and that blessing abundant would be poured out upon us, that it might overflow into the hearts and lives and homes of those around us. For Jesus' sake, Amen.